In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we preached a little bit on the theme of not just kind of waiting for Jesus to come, but preparing, getting ready. And as we know, in the scriptures of Advent, John the Baptist is a central figure for getting ready. In fact, that's what he was sent, right? Right ahead of Jesus to proclaim the preparation for the coming of Jesus. It starts out in the gospel here that he went throughout the whole region of Jordan up in the north, telling people, hey, get ready. Kind of like prophet Isaiah had told us was going to happen, right? This message of prepare the way of the Lord. That's what I want to focus on today. That preparation of bringing together the family of God, like the great welcoming home. A lot of us prepare either at Thanksgiving or Christmas to have family members back. And that also always brings with it the whole theme of family unity, getting everyone together in the same room, right? That's beautiful, but it also accents some of the conflicts. Like, oh, I hope this works, you know? And at least in my family, I don't know if you guys face that. So it's a beautiful opportunity, but not without its challenges. And the same with John the Baptist, right? Preparing for Jesus, this great coming of the Son of God. Beautiful, amazing, the baby, the child Jesus, Mary and Joseph, idyllic, lovely under the tree. But it's the beginning of a whole reconciliation of a lot of conflict. Basically, man before God. Rebellion. I will not serve. It's God's answer to bring them back. So that's the theme. I'll try to be concise. The first reading from Baruch, right, beginning in the Old Testament, where now Baruch, a prophet, after the whole family of God, the 12 tribes, have been scattered, right? The 10 tribes up north, as we know, were living up north, and they had been carried off in exile and distributed throughout the far reaches of the north, even way beyond, and diluted and basically lost over hundreds of years. Those 12 tribes, they disappeared. If you've heard the phrase the lost tribes of Israel, it's not like they're lost in the woods somewhere, like, oh, we can't get out of here, where's our... No, they were just diluted. Those 10 tribes, those 10 descendants of those 10 sons of Israel, their family lines got lost and spread out and no longer existed, right? And the two tribes who were in and around Jerusalem, also conquered, also spread out, also in a bit lost, but eventually they came back to Jerusalem, right? And this is Baruch who's celebrating that. It's about to happen. These two tribes that were also lost have reunited and have come back to Jerusalem. That reunification of the family of God. And if you've ever heard that phrase of the great ingathering, have you heard that? Like a Protestant sometimes talk about the great ingathering. No, it's like it is this historical event, which is the bringing back in, gathering once again in the 12 tribes that were lost, right? And it's prophetic in that it never really happened for the 10, the lost tribes. It did happen for the two. The day the Messiah comes, he will finally bring them all back together, back to those 10 that have been lost up north and we don't know where they're at and they're all spread out. They're all diluted. They're all mixed marriages with Assyrians and Babylonians. He'll find them all and he'll bring them all back, right? It's the longing we all have to have our families united. Whatever divided whatever diluted, whatever separated, bring them back so that there's peace, unity, and desire to be together. That's the longing of the people of God of the 12 tribes. Jesus comes to bring that, you know. It's a beautiful psalm. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, Zion being Jerusalem and the two tribes that come back together, we were like men dreaming, like, I can't believe this is happening finally. It's amazing. That's what we're longing for, and that's what Jesus does. And this gets fulfilled. The important element of these readings is that they involve us here today. You see, the ingathering, the bringing back of the tribes did happen, but not the way the people of Israel imagined. Jesus made the new Israel and called all those nations back together through the church. Jesus chose the 12 men representing those 12 tribes. Not that they were literally from every tribe, but they were representative of a new people being formed, a new Israel, a new gathering. And these men were the apostles. And through the church and baptism, we're meant to bring all people back together again. Thus, there's a triple message for us today. God wants us to be welcomed home, for sure. He wants to bring us back, just like every family longs to have their family together. He is the great host. He is the divine protector. He's the father of the family that wants to bring us back. He's the one who sends the Son to bridge the gap and bring everybody together. The Catholic Church is your home. It's not just an institution, not just a structure of authority. The Church is God's new Israel, part of his plan of salvation from the beginning of time to bring back the children of God. And you are welcome here. Baptism, as we know, is the doorway to enter this new Israel. It's no longer just that you're in the bloodline. It's you're under the bloodline, which is Jesus. And when you baptize into that, you're in the family. Wherever you are brought back. It's almost a different strategy. You can approach bringing the family together by going and finding them all and then relocating them back. Or you can say, all those family members that are spread out, love where they are, but they're reunited they're reuniting their values, their commitment, their desire to be together, their common creed, and they make the family extend wherever they are. So the family's united in their faith, in their love, in their one idea, which is Jesus Christ. And the unity isn't geographical, it isn't people, it's everywhere, and it's united under Christ. It's almost like saying, you know what? The city of Jerusalem is expanding to include everyone. The city limits expand throughout the whole world, and now everyone's in the city. They come back, not necessarily because they've come back. God's expanded the boundaries. So now you're inside. That's the beauty and the celebration. I think there's a lesson there for us in what John the Baptist preaches. He preaches repentance and the forgiveness of sin through Jesus, right? We can understand that in our families as well. One way to create unity isn't necessarily they have to change and move towards me. Sometimes it's what I expect of them through the mercy of God and my forgiveness creates the bridge in which we can both come back and forth. They've moved to Chicago and they never come back, right? Well, I'm not going out there to visit them. They've got to come back here. You know, those walls that we build, they're like, just like the first reading. I love that. Struck me as I was listening to it. This, for God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low and that age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground. How many gorges we dig that make it impossible for the other to get back. It's like, no, that's one bridge too far. Not going to cross it. You decided. And there's a gorge relationally that just can't be filled, right? And the people of God are separated, or families are separated. What builds the family unity isn't necessarily that. It's we expand to include them. We fill in the gorge. We build the bridge, etc. And I know there can be like, hey, I've done that. The specific application of this truth to every particular circumstance of each individual, there's a gradation, there's a level of justice and mercy and asking forgiveness and wanting forgiveness and how you express that and all that. But as a principle, God creates the family unity through expanding the boundaries to include. Before he forces them, you come back home and then you're in. No, I'm actually going to go out and grab you. I'm going to expand my arms. Oh, look, now you're inside. Will you receive it? Do you want this? It's here. All you have to do is say, yes, I believe. I want that. He makes it so easy. It does require conversion, which is what John the Baptist preaches. I don't want to oversimplify. I know circumstances are complicated, but as a general strategy of God the Father in Jesus, it's that a voice crying and that please prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. One particular thing that I wanted to invite all of us to do then is to examine our hearts. That's the conversion of Advent. To prepare for the coming of the Lord means to prepare our hearts to be in sync with the Lord, to have a heart like his. And so he's coming to us, and in fact, he's brought us in. The preparation isn't so much kind of like, I need to get ready and order. It's, I need to step into sync with him. I need to lower those mountains that stand as a divide between him and me and be open to loving the way he loves, to being just the way he's just, having the virtue, to receiving the love he wants to give me. I need to lower whatever is an obstacle between us, and I need to invite him to also lower that for me when I can through his grace, but also to fill in what's missing so that it's easy to commune. It's a re-engaging in being in step with Christ. It's like becoming a disciple, a follower. I am in the same step with him, right behind him. Where he steps, I step. The way we get the same gait. We enter into communion. There's a unity, as in a family, right? We have a common intention, a common heart, a common value system, a common way of looking at the world, that's the kingdom of Christ. That's what the Lord is coming to bring us in Jesus. So the invitation for all of us is examine our own hearts. That's the repentance that John the Baptist is inviting. Examine our own hearts and speak to the Lord as we continue in this Mass. When you recognize something, it's not that you have to have the answer right now. It's, Lord, I recognize that. Please change my heart. You're the one who saves me. So come do it. Whatever needs to shift, I've tried. I need you to help me shift it. Whatever bridge needs built, whatever valley needs filled in, whatever mountain needs removed, come bring that power of your salvation because I want it. And that's the gift of communion that Jesus comes to give us. That's why he dies on the cross. That's why he comes as a child. That's why he embraces that suffering, why he gives over or lets go of the treasures of heaven to embrace the poverty of our humanity. It's to build that bridge. So let's let him do that. Let's ask for the grace in our own hearts, for our own families, for our country. So many lament the division. Let's pray for that even civilly in our own country. Let's pray for it in our church, in our communities, etc. Amen.